The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition. If you're Peter Navarro, it means go directly to prison. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. How you doing, little buddy?
Good, Crudy. Good to be with you, Nate and Rich, on the board. A beautiful day here in Milwaukee. Thank you, audience, for joining us. And is this the first time? Is this the first, you know, insider from Donald Trump's crew going directly to jail? It's not, right? Maybe within the cabinet or the White House, but Manafort and... I mean, the people associated with him, right? The CFO, Weisselberg. A lot of people go to jail around Trump. Cohen.
You know, I'd be a little nervous if I were Donald Trump today. Like, let's just say you and I had done some criming together.
Yeah.
And I'd have told you to please not tell anybody, you know, because I'm the president of the corporation. I got presidential immunity, and I don't want you to tell anyone, so keep your clap shut. And then you get subpoenaed, and the Congress wants you to go give some testimony about the, let's just say, the criming we did together, Dom. And you ended up going to prison over it.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I'd be a little nervous about my portion of the criming today. If the rationale and the reason you're going to prison is because you refuse to give testimony against me, I'd still be looking to get you rubbed out.
Based on
I'd get you shanked in the yard.
Immunity claim. I'm sorry, a claim of immunity because of, you know, presidential conversations, which Trump never offered, right? I mean, couldn't Trump have done something more here?
Yes. He could have specifically made the claim of privilege, you know, presidential immunity, you know. He cannot talk about this privileged conversation. I've directed him. He did not do that. And in fact, when Navarro came outside, not the prison per se, but he did do a presser at the gas station for like 30 minutes now. Because apparently the Four Seasons landscaping was already booked for the day. So Navarro did a gas station.
Well, he had to presser. Pick up a couple cartons of cigarettes, man. You got to make friends as soon as you get on the inside.
Here's the good news. He's going in on Taco Tuesday, Dom.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Navarro immediately looks for, you know, some Trumpsters? I mean, that means he's going to have to hook up with the Aryan Brotherhood, does it not? I mean, he's going to have to join the nation, Dom. He'll be Peter Navarro, who for a man of 74 has relatively good hair. I admire the man. I don't have good hair.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's going to come out as prison with a skinhead, you watch, and some tats.
Yeah, some prison tats, a little swastika on the side of the head.
I don't know that I would have gone so readily to prison today.
Well, it's not like he didn't try. The Supreme Court finally turned him down.
I would have been a fugitive from justice, man. I'd have been in Panama someplace with some loose extradition treaties.
Come on, man. You're Peter Navarro. You can't go anywhere. Or maybe he could have. 4 months? Come on. You can do 4 months. It'd be great. We'll take it. It'll be nice. We'll relax. We'll have a good time. He'll get, you know, get some good shape. He'll do some push-ups and maybe get three hots and a cot. He'll be fine, man.
Have you ever been to jail, my friend? I don't think you have. I you know, not for longer than overnight stay, right?
Never stayed overnight either. No.
So you've never had the benefit of staying at the Crowbar Motel.
I have not. I've been detained once or twice, you know, but never longer than a couple hours.
I've been detained once or twice for the actions of other mutual associates. Huh? You can't even claim on that. I'm just guilt by association stuff. Well, I've been hauled downtown.
Guilt by association is a thing. And maybe that's why there's not a bunch of billionaires stepping up to pay Donald Trump's bail money.
All the usual money. Suspects. Do you think Epstein would have stepped up for him?
Hey, it's not over yet. We still don't know what's going to happen with all, you know, Trump's travails with his money and his bond. There's lots of options. He's got like 6 days, man. Don't worry about it.
He's got till the end of the month. But let's talk about Peter Navarro. He had a report earlier today to the federal prison in Miami. And Dom, we've spent time in Miami. We went down there for a presidential debate, and we followed presidential candidate at the time, Senator Elizabeth Warren, out to Homestead, Florida, where she went to visit immigrant children that were being held in a compound. And she stood on a ladder with a little Latino girl, and they waved at the kids over the fence. And the kids waved back, and, you know, they were in like little orange jumpsuits, right? They were being held like criminals, these children, these immigrant children. Those were the, you know, the Trump immigration policies. We'll get to immigration policies, I suspect, in this big showdown. But I recall about Miami and Homestead. It was hot as hell.
It was, man. It was.
I mean,
it was hot. I mean, it was summer. It was what, July? Well, when was it? It was July in Florida, man.
It's, buddy, it's I went to Miami last March. It was in the 90s in March in Miami, man. Last year. I didn't look for the local weather reports, but in the next 4 months, he's going to have to shave his hair, his head, because otherwise it's going to throw up on a man.
No, man. He's got that slick stuff. You know, you just run down and buy it. It'll be fine. Trade some cigarettes. That's why he's at the gas station giving his comments today. Before we get to the sound, a little bit from the CNN on Navarro. What Navarro's incarceration could look like. According to CNN, Navarro's expected to spend 90 days behind bars, given federal laws that allow for early release of certain inmates. Oh, come on, truth in sentencing. 90 days is supposed to be 4 months.
That would be 120 days.
Why do Republicans love crime? Republicans are the party of crime. I mean, literally the party of the crime. But anyway, I digress. It's not really funny anymore because they literally are. CNN goes on. He's hoping to be assigned to an air-conditioned dormitory reserved for elderly male inmates, according to Sam Mangle, the prison consultant Navarro hired to prepare for his incarceration. I didn't know there was a prison consultant industry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, haven't you seen the movie Get Hard? Guy helps him get ready for prison. It's Will Ferrell. I believe Chris Rock, maybe, is the guy that's going to help him get hard for prison. No,
the short guy. I forget his name.
Not Chris Rock. Anyways, it'll come back.
Brian, where are you at when I need you, man? The air-conditioned dormitory reserved for elderly male inmates, that dormitory houses 80 men in bunk beds. There will be no privacy in the dorm. It can be scary and intimidating, but he is going to be perfectly safe, he said. Navarro will have access to TVs that are set up in the prison that allow for him to follow the news, and he will be able to use email and make phone calls. What? Email and phone calls?
Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart was the actor in Get Hard. He was the one that taught Will Ferrell how to get hard for prison. Get ready.
The prison is one of the older ones in the country, and it sits next to the city zoo. Not only can you hear the lions, you can hear the lions roar every morning, they said.
The lions never roar. It's been since the 1950s. Oh, you mean the literal lions, not the Detroit lions.
Don't stop believing, Crudy. Don't stop believing. So come on, he's in an air-conditioned bunk bed with a bunch of other old dudes, and he can watch TV and be on his email and make phone calls? What kind of punishment is that? I mean, for real. Does he got to be out, you know, breaking rocks or digging a hole and then filling it back up? Well, what are we talking about here?
Conjugal visits? Internet porn? What sort of pennies does this guy get them?
Dogs and cats living together. Past hysteria.
Now, I had a similar condition when...
Is that club fed? I'm sorry, but would you consider that a club fed?
Yes.
Yes.
I had similar conditions when I was stuck with 21 days in day jail. And six days a week, I could get out for 12 hours a day. It was, yes, I had a youthful indiscretion and I was convicted and I had to do, ultimately, it was 21 days in jail.
You pled guilty though, right? Yeah.
I pled. No contest. It's a slight difference under the law. I didn't contest the charges against me.
Why not, man? I mean, it's like, should be like Trump, just drag it out and drag it out. It'll be fine. Sooner or later, you'll become president and you make it all just go away.
Well, my only point was, I don't care who you are. You're scared as you know what, walking into a penal facility. And I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I went to LaCrosse's Huber. And at the time, I would say it was filled with guys guilty of third DUIs. That's what it was filled with. I mean, there was very little to fear personally, physically, like getting beat up or whatever. You just don't know, man. I don't know.
This is more of a jail, though, like under a year, right? Jail versus prison.
And yes.
Plus, you're in and out. So it's not hardcore.
Not that first day, though. The first day I was in was my stay all day day. So I had 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
And, we were in barracks. And one of the stories I probably shouldn't tell on the radio because it includes me probably committing a felony, but I can.
I mean, while statute of limitations, man, you're fine.
While incarcerated, that first night, I smoked weed in jail, in the barrack style jail. In fact, it was like 6:30 in the morning. I was in my bed, and guys were getting up to go to work, and they would let most of the people out for work. But these sheriff's deputies were more interested in catching guys smoking cigarettes around the dorms. So I hear the car keys jingling and I knew, oh God, that's a sheriff's deputy. And those sure enough, they would take your keys. You couldn't have keys. So if he had keys, he was a sheriff's deputy. And so anyways, I got smoke in my lungs. I'm blowing it into a towel. The guy's no more than 20 feet away from me. I get up, I put on a t-shirt and I walk past him and he turns and we walk past each other and I just sucked in my breath like, and then I went out to the common area and I drank some coffee really quick and just prayed for the best. And that was probably a felony. Hope Peter Navarro doesn't commit any more.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you hang out with us at the political party. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, so as I told the story, within 24 hours of being put into the Huber facility, yeah. I was smoking the devil's lettuce in the Huber facility and nearly got caught. Should have gotten caught, really, that sheriff's deputy clearly was uninformed if he couldn't smell that on my breath. At that point, we were 6 inches apart, man. 6 inches. I mean, you can smell a guy's halitosis at 2 feet. I know he could have smelled it.
Yeah, you know, but like that green bud was super stink. You know what I mean? It probably wasn't like that because you couldn't even smuggle that stuff in. So if I recall back in those days, it was kind of that brick weed. So, you know, didn't have a great smell. Kind of smelled like dirt.
It probably did. At least the guy I knew mostly had dirty stuff.
White House, go ahead.
I got to tell you, though, Donald Trump's got to be feeling like a caged animal. When you know you're guilty of something, as I did, and, you know, call it a youthful indiscretion, but they charged it as a felony. And... you know, the no contest pleading was to get it down to a misdemeanor and to not get a more substantial record, which would prevent me from getting, you know, let's say college federal aid or, you know, vote in the state of Wisconsin. You know,
consequences of your actions. Right?
Other, so, other were more significant consequences.
Were you reformed? I mean, you smoked weed the first day in Huber. Oh, okay, I get it. It's a hotel jail. But did you come out reformed? Did you change your ways? Did you see the light, man?
Well, I was your roommate the next 2 years while on probation, and you were the drug dealer, so.
I couldn't believe you. That was totally uncalled for.
Well, you know, was it a problem? Ultimately, it was not a problem.
So no problem. No harm, no foul.
No harm, no fouls. We lived in the cleanest. Like we had the cleanest house ever, right? Because all the fingerprints got wiped away each and every night. But here would be my point. You know, it is a humiliating experience. I, you know, with 30 years behind me, I can tell it like a joke. But at the time, man, it was devastating to my life. It set me back. If you had caught me committing some other crime at 21 or 22 and said, you're going to jail, I don't know, man. I might have jumped in the river. It was that dissuasive. Like, it's the worst possible experience. And I've been in the Army, I've worked construction, and I've been to jail, and I've had a 30-year friendship with you. And I got to tell you, you know, second to your friendship, jail's pretty bad. Jail is pretty, pretty bad. And I would not want to replicate. It's the loss of personal freedom, right? So as much as I take a little glee at the fact that Peter Navarro is heading off to prison, not really, man. This guy is suffering on the inside. I mean, for those that would take glee, I'm just telling you, this guy is suffering. And so is Donald Trump in a big sort of way.
But here's the thing.
Knows he's guilty.
Come on. So what? The narcissist in him doesn't allow for you. Got to have shame to feel that kind of feeling, Crudy. And if you are to that nth degree, that it's not even there, man.
And you asked me, did it reform me in some way, shape, or form? There were many times like where I was overly drunk in a bar or something where I would have, you know, popped off or probably taken a punch at a guy or something, you know, just done something that I shouldn't have done that would have ended my ass up in a night in jail. And I'd like to think I restrained myself at least three or four of those nights. You would have been the target. So
thankfully that didn't happen, Curtis, because you'd have been very injured. But the point is that you came out, you never flipped over another car again, right?
No, I was reformed. I never flipped another municipal/cop car over in my life other than that one bad night, which in my memory was still the funnest and greatest night of my life. I mean, it really was a hell of a good time that day.
It was
8 a.m. till like 3 in the morning. If you can party, you know, and there were some drugs involved, but if you can party for like 20 hours straight, you've had a good day. And it was like 72 degrees in April.
It was
the weather, the shrooms, the colleagues, the friends, the setting. It was all just a wonderful evening.
Bonding, you know, I mean, we all really felt as one.
Well, you mean the bonding that evening or the bond I had to make to be let out of jail?
The bonding that evening, not the actual bond that you were able to eventually obviously get out, right? Did you have to call your friends? I mean, how did you? No, because you didn't get caught that night. It was
I got caught on Crime Stoppers. The worst feeling of my life, I was in Lindy's.
Oh, man, it's the most famous you ever were.
Well, until now, until I tell this story on the radio. No, I was in Lindy's. It was like 10:30 on a, you know, like a Friday night, I assume, where in the bar, right? Although that doesn't really lessen the chance, but it was a summer night, so you never can tell. It could have been a Tuesday for all I know. And we're in Lindy's bar, and
news drinks on Thursdays, man.
The news was on, and then immediately after the news, Crime Stoppers. And there I was. Three guys in a frame, but I was the guy in the middle. I was framed up perfect. And it was so clearly me. You know, I had hair back then. I wish I had that. You know, that videotape is still being played in Shooter's Bar each and every night since 1990. Rudy is still playing the tape. He's playing it right now. I guarantee it. The bar is open. It's after 4 o'clock. You go down to 3rd Street. Rudy's got me on the video player, and I'm rocking that car. And it turned into chaos from there. But the the rocking, and it was me and Roop. What even me? And you were there as well. I didn't even know you then.
I didn't know you then, but I was. And I got to tell you, as an observer, because I was probably 10 feet behind you, I thought I saw that. And all of a sudden, I saw, you know, you and Roop and a couple other folks, one by one, kind of jump on and started getting a little higher, bounce a little higher. I'm like, oh, that looks like fun.
It was
and
super fun. I had a little thing in my head,
and it hit me. Then mine went off before yours did, Curdy.
Mine went off when the car came up off the wheels to about a 45-degree angle, and when it got up to, like, where you're bench-pressing that car. And I'm like, this is a really bad idea. And I did like the NBA player. I like self-hugged, like, no foul, no foul.
It was me, wasn't there, man.
It's not that I remember any of the events of that evening, but I've reviewed the videotape enough times. If not, then, you know, with my lawyer and eventually in court.
It's in my head, man. I mean, I don't remember a lot of things sometimes, Curdy, but that one is etched into my brain. That and the smell of tear gas. It's a thing. Brings me back to lacrosse.
Well, as I was recently back from the military, I had been exposed to the tear gas, Dom. That was old hat for me. I'd rather do tear gas than jail. I'll just say that. I would have been a fugitive from justice. You know, my buddy Frank, my roommate, my sophomore year, he shaved his head, joined the Army, and I've never heard or seen from him again. And he was my roommate, dude. Talking about a fugitive from justice. Frank, if you're out there, call the show. It's okay. The statute of limitations is over. Unless, you know, you're a general in the Army, then that could still get you in trouble. 844-967-2789. Remember the day Elliot called the show?
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The way you were karaokeing along, Dom, I thought you were going to burst in the song there.
Oh, you couldn't tell that was me singing, Curdy.
You were Eddie Money. One of you two.
Money, money, money. Money, money. Hey, man, Navarro's going to need some money when he's in the pen. We got some sound. I want to get to it before we forget about it, Curdy, but go ahead.
Okay, you don't have to chastise me. I already had Britch at the ready. Right. Play some more Eddie Money for your ass. Keep it to yourself, Salvia. I know what we're doing around here.
So Peter Navarro, he was what, a White House trade advisor going to jail for what? Obstruction of Congress? Or
what did he do? Here's the dumbest part. He failed to respond to a congressional subpoena for both documents and testimony. But he went on Ari Melber and completely confessed, dude. He rolled out, I believe he called it the Green Bay sweep. It was the fake electors scheme. I mean, not a smart criminal. You know, if you're not going to testify, if you're not going to respond to the J6 committee, the congressional subpoenas, don't go on MSNBC with a lawyer and go confess your guilt, sir. That would be my, you know, free legal advice, as I am not a lawyer, but the guy you went and confessed to is, and it was like he was getting cross-examined and ultimately, I hate to say anyone deserves what he gets. But he does. He deserves this.
Man, you know, I mean, people deserve what they get, good and bad, right? That's okay, man.
Well, we don't all get what we deserve, Tom. You've deserved far worse in life than life has handed you. And there are some people like the Central Park Five that Donald Trump was advocating to keep in prison for the rest of their lives. They were exonerated by DNA evidence. So it's not like a innocent man has never been put behind bars.
Clearly. And,
but that like, ain't this.
That is not this. It's not even close. And with the Republicans being so soft on crime, Navarro, who failed to honor a congressional subpoena, sentenced to 4 months in prison, will only do 90 days. Soft on crime, Republicans.
Now, I thought Jeff, our pal Jeff from Sherwood, who's a frequent flyer on the text line, a few of the texts, Jeff's already been texting on. Crudy, check where Navarro is. The lowest security is a prison for a bunch of rich white-collar guys. Also, a couple of texters corrected me on the Get Hard movie. Carmella and others said, it's Kevin Hart, you dummy. And then Dana said, 90 days? Fuh! The Constitution calls for hanging or firing squad for what these traitors did. Well, it was actually the defiance of Congress that got him the 4 months, 90 right. days in.
But if it's deterrence, and I, you know, we kind of got to this when you told your story from we were in college together. It's a deterrence. You felt it, man. Again, I think you got to have some shame. You can't be a narcissist like Trump or even to a lesser degree, perhaps Navarro, but you know, okay. But 90 days, man, it didn't get, you got to walk around. You got to talk your trash. Now you're going to go do 90 days. And that's going to what?
That will be dissuasive. 90 days. Yes.
30 days in the hole, man. 90 days in the hole. So what? He's not going to do any criming anymore. I mean, come on, I don't believe it for a minute, man.
I bet that Peter Navarro will never commission another coup against the government and then fail to respond to congressional subpoena and then go on MSNBC.
Peter Navarro will get out of jail, and if Donald Trump wins that election, will be rewarded by Donald Trump to be a White House advisor for trade or something more than that, because Donald Trump, he sometimes pays those back. Look at Weisselberg. Weisselberg went to jail. Now it's what, for a second time, and Trump's paying him like a couple million dollars to keep his mouth shut. So, you know, it's hard for me to feel bad, but I think it's very important to recognize people like Weisselberg, and who knows what happens with Navarro after he gets out. But presumably, they're going to be okay.
Dom, we've got callers, and we've got sound from Peter Navarro. Let's get the pissy young man, and I hate to use that coarse language, but he said literally his quote was something to the effect, I'm pissed! Let's play it for the people so they can judge for themselves.
All right.
The coarseness of the language.
Let's start with cut number one, going to jail. Peter Navarro.
The little story here is Navarro's going to prison today. you guys...
Not a short
we'll,
joke.
Certainly focus on that little story, but what I suggest to you as journalists is that there's two really bigger stories that you might want to report on and even do some research on, because these are big issues. This is not about me.
Well, it is today. Today it's about you going to prison. And as a journalist of some renown, or at least journalist adjacent, I'm actually kind of enjoying the coverage of this topic at this moment in history.
Rich, let's keep going. The Navarro outside of a gas station. Cut number two, please.
One of the big stories is about what is really an unprecedented assault on the constitutional separation of powers and the doctrine of executive privilege as a critical tool dating back to George Washington of effective presidential decision making. When I walk in that prison today, the justice system, such as it is, will have done a crippling blow to the constitutional separation of powers and executive privilege.
Political fact checked him on this point. He didn't actually offer any clear or convincing evidence. And that's perhaps why he's walking his ass into a prison today, is because it's one thing to assert it. It's another to back it up with, let's call it evidence. And you didn't even bother showing up for the J6 committee. If he'd have showed up, Dom, he wouldn't be going to prison. If he'd have showed up and said, I plead the fifth. I feel like I've been compelled by executive privilege not to give full and compelling testimony. Okay, what about the non-privileged information? Right? Because he still would have had to testify to that. So it was his flouting of the process of the subpoenas. Although I would point out Jim Jordan did the same.
Jim Jordan, I was just going to say.
And Steve Bannon is convicted of the very same charges and is out on appeal. But,
different
you
judge.
Know, Navarro, you lost the Carbo lottery, I guess.
Right, man. Someone's got to be the example. A couple more from the jailbird. Here comes Navarro. Cut number three, please.
The second and related story has to do with the emergence of lawfare and the partisan weaponization of our justice system. That's prison. That's where they take your freedom. But as hard as it will be on me, and as hard as it will be on anybody who is in there, it's harder on their families. And this is who those Democrats have hurt.
Come on. Yes, it's all the harm done to Peter Navarro's family because, you know what, he thought he had executive privilege with Trump, who never said that, never provided any documentation, any proof of that. He probably had a fair amount of opportunity to go and present the facts as they were. Hey, you don't have it. Well, maybe I'll come and talk then. Nope, didn't do that. And so now here we go. We got one more. If you would please, Rich. No, is that it?
No, that's it. That's all the Peter Navarro you get. Jailbird. Yeah. Three doses. That's all you get. 844-967-2789. Let's go to our phones. Rico from Rock County. Rico, you sound like a jailbird.
Oh, God, yeah. Hey, I'm glad we got Navarro out of the way. That idiot, he's one of the major idiots. I'm glad we're done. Are we done with him now? Okay, let's move back to the
Devil's he'll be here. In Trump's White House if Trump gets in the White House.
No, I'd rather go back to the college days. Now, I got a problem. I've never called in. Hey, I got a lot of problems with you guys. Hey, you're messing with my head. Hey, now, I never call in this early, but I actually pulled off the side of the road and parked my truck for 10 minutes waiting to talk to this. Hey, now, I can understand all this malfeasance and all these shenanigans and your pure heathenistic behavior in your college days. I can understand that coming from Dom. He gets a pass. He gets a total $200, pass go. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you, Rico. Crudy,
yes, Crudy.
Yes, Crudy, Dad.
When you were bench pressing the car, is that when you became a believer?
In God or the legal system?
And whatever will save your miserable ass, because you are exhibiting some bad behavior.
Rico, it is a two-tier justice system. My buddy Roop had the same lawyer I did, only Roop's dad hired the guy through his private attorney firm. And I, being an indigent, broke-ass college kid, hired him through the public defender's office. The former district attorney of La Crosse County, Roger LeGrand, my defense attorney, Roop got 30 days, I got 60 days, and my guy showed up for sentencing with martinis on his breath. I think that's a two-tier justice system. Rico, I should have appealed. I just couldn't make the $454 million bond.
I got a check, Crudy.
Okay, but hey, Crudy, let's step back. Why did you need this man's services in the first place? Can you answer me that?
Because I broke the law, man. I was out criming.
Did we forget about that part?
Oh, no,
we forgot about that.
It mostly was the drug-induced blackout. So technically, yes, I did forget about that part. But the videotape reminded me, Rico.
Hey, you know what, Crudy? At least Dom's got an excuse. I haven't heard yours yet.
What was Dom's excuse? Tom was same bad decisions as I was making.
Timing's everything, Rico.
Hey, he's a self-proclaimed atheist devil worshiper. What more do you need from the man?
Atheist, sure. Devil worship? I told you, I'm an atheist. Devil's a Christian god.
Hey, it's okay if the audience has a little devil worship thing going on with us, Dom. It's okay.
The devil's advocates worship, sure.
I'm not clear what Rico's point is. Like, Dom can go and be a drug dealer and, you know, want to participate in the criming of the Coon Creek riots of 1990. But because Crudy took one more action step than Dom on that particular issue, not the selling of the seeds and the stems, that was another guy. That was an ongoing, conscientious effort at criming, that perhaps rivals the Trump org.
I was just ahead of my time, man. Ahead of my time. I mean, look at Illinois. Look at Michigan. Look at Minnesota.
Well, I had one youthful indiscretion, you know, inspired by booze, your weed probably, and some mushrooms. I mean, I gotta blame it on advice of counsel. Yeah. I got some bad advice that I could handle all those drugs in the same time on the same day, and clearly I couldn't.
It was glorious. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Until
I'm sure Peter Navarro and the Trumpsters and January Sixers, they were all having a good time too, right until the consequences.
What consequences? Trump's leading the Republican ticket right now. There's no consequence yet. Now, Navarro, all right, different consequence. He got his 90 days.
You know, after took my 21-day hitch in Huber, day jail, which meant 3 days in and, like, you know, 18 working days where I was out 12 hours a day, and I only really had to work this split shift. But anyways, I told him I was gone for 12 days so I could go home and smoke weed between work shifts. But talking about no consequences, but I forget what the more important point here was.
That's something to do with Peter Navarro and smoking too much weed and losing your memory.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Apparently, you smoke too much weed, you lose your memory. So I'll come back on the other side with a great story, maybe, maybe a punchline, maybe, or perhaps you can provide your own. 844-967-2789. Oh, house arrest is worse than day jail. But, you know, I wasn't at Mar-a-Lago. But, you know, if Melania's there, she's not going to be happy.
She's sleeping.
Taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Radio show going back to the lines. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
We're going back to the lines because I had another thought, but we can do that. You don't have to be jerks.
Well, if you want to get it up before you forget it, Curtis, that's totally fine.
I'll come back. We'll come back. We'll get to a couple callers first. Jack from Merrimack. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
Oh, I just peachy keen, as my granny used to say. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Navarro getting, I don't care, 4 months or 90 days. That's like about giving the same thing to a consigliere of a mafia organization, the guy that planned all of the operations. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. That isn't really why I called, though. Today is the first day of early voting for a lot of people, and I realize it's not a day for grievances, but I'm still going to mention two things, and that is those two bogus constitutional amendments, which would be virtually impossible to reverse no matter who's in power.
Jack, you mean on the Wisconsin spring election, which the actual day is April 2nd, but there are two conspiracy theory-laden constitutional amendments that are not there to create light so much as create befuddlement amongst the electorate. Right, Jack?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The first one basically says that you can't accept any kind of outside money for to help conduct the elections, which would allow, of course, whoever happened to be in power, gee, I wonder who that is, to basically cut back the amount of funding for things like, oh, maybe polling locations or people to count the ballots and then be able to...
Well, Jack, that's, of course, the Republican efforts to create equity between the small markets and the big markets is the reason so many Wisconsin municipalities were willing to accept and were seeking the quote-unquote Zucker bucks because they needed the money to administer their elections.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right, and that's exactly my point. That's what this is. That's what the first one is all about. The second one, I don't know what they don't define anything about what who would be prohibited from helping in the elections. They simply say something like only those authorized people, something like that.
By the legislature, of course.
Yeah, right. From what I've read, even the attorneys that advised them on this didn't have any idea exactly whom that would prohibit from helping. So, for instance, it could conceivably prohibit somebody from helping a disabled person with their ballot. It could conceivably prohibit people like me, who I've been now for the last several elections, I've been a poll observer for the League of Women Voters. They could possibly throw me out and say, hey, you're not an election official, so you can't be there. I mean, that's what this is about, again. It's about as much control over the elections as possible and trying to cast as much of a negative light on our election systems. And we have a very, very clean election system in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, Jack, are you saying you're going to vote no on both of those?
That will be my vote. Of course, I can't advise anybody else, but whatever you think is right.
Well, Jack, we'll do the advising around here. We advise you to vote no on the constitutional amendments being presented on the Wisconsin spring electoral ballots. They are created in conspiracies, and they're really to advance this Republican, you know, every election is stolen if our guy doesn't win.
844-967-2789.
Vote no because Crudy says vote no, not because Dom said vote no.
Okay, man. Whatever it takes.
Mark from SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Well, I already voted. I voted today, and I voted no on both those referendums.
Did you do so because Crudy wanted you to vote no or because Dom wanted you to vote no?
No pressure, Mark.
Because I voted because I wanted to vote no. Because the deceptiveness.
That's no way to join a cult.
And as far as Navarro, you know, that wicked thought tossed in my head. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Office Space and the kind of prisons that they were afraid to go to for their crimes when they finally figured out they had gotten caught. And I was kind of hoping that that's where he would be sent. But, you know, I really hope he doesn't get any negative actions while he's in prison, you know, that like some of those bad old prison films where they, you know, what happens to some of those guys in prison. But, you know, that God bless him and let the man, you know, continue criming when he gets out, because he was one of the authors of the Wisconsin sweep and trying to, you know, take my vote away in the election with the whole fake electors thing, which he can go to hell for.
And Mark, and thanks for the call, man. And I think that's something when we talk about this, and of course we jest, and, you know, he did this, he did his criming, and we talk in generalities. It's absolutely what they tried to do, Mark. They tried to take away our votes, man. And that is a serious issue. And for a guy who helped coordinate that, and it was also, you know, part of the advising of the president on this issue, he keeps his mouth shut and he gets 90 days. Like I said, man, if Trump gets in, Navarro would be right back by his side.
Well, that, of course, is just 90 days for not testifying before Congress. That speaks nothing to the underlying criminal conspiracy, Dom.
Right.
Nothing. You know, I'm glad we took our callers and cleaned up the lines a bit. Don't like to leave our audience hanging forever. And there will be plenty more opportunities, a happier happy hour coming next. But, Dom, an opinion piece. I just want to throw the headline out and see if it gets under your skin a little bit. Ruth Marcus, fair's fair. Trump should be able to appeal the judgment against him. At the Washington Post. You know, we're talking about law and order, crime and punishment. She's saying fair is fair. Trump should have the ability to appeal this massive judgment against him. We'll talk about it. And also, the U.S. Supreme Court says Texas can just create their own laws out of whole cloth regarding immigration. Just arrest people.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
What would the charges be? How do you make bail? How long are you going to hold these people in custody? And, you know, the U.S. doesn't deport people from non-contiguous countries, meaning unless you're from Mexico, we don't like push you back at the border. What if they're from Guatemala? Did Texas just set itself up for a whole extradition program?
Guatemala, they'll just push them into Mexico and thereby becoming, you know, human trafficker.
We'll see. We'll talk about plenty of these topics and take your phone calls. It's a happier happy hour, devil style. 844-96-PARTY. 844-96-PARTY.